good morning. Glad you're here to celebrate and worship with us because Jesus is risen. He is our salvation, and we get to be in his house today. And so I'm thankful for that. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to turn your neck behind you and say, are you ready to hear some truth? Go ahead, do it. Ready to hear some truth? Yeah, usually it's side to side, but you know those people. Just talk to the person behind you, okay? And now you got to lean forward and say, are you ready to hear some truth? Good, good. All right, everyone's ready, all right? Hey, so we've been in our series, Jude, Don't Tread on Thee. It's been a powerful series so far. If you are joining us for the first or second time, I would encourage you go back and listen. There's going to be some of the stuff that I talk about today and continue to talk about that will come from a previous sermon. And today what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of touch back on what we talked about last week. Really what we focused on last week was Jude 5. The title of my message was Saved But Destroyed. And it comes from Jude 5, which says, God saved them from Egypt, but destroyed many of them due to unbelief. And so what we were talking about last week was justification and sanctification and how those two go together, and really grace and truth and how those two go together, and they're so important in our life and that we live those things and we speak those things in a world that is increasingly becoming promiscuous and turning God's grace into promiscuity. And so it's so important for us to hear the truth, to speak the truth, to share the truth. Justification, sanctification, grace and truth, both and all of it. Now, when we did all this last week, I said, I'm going to chew on some of this. I'm going to get it pre-chewed, right? We pre-chewed the word last week. And I said, you can take my pre-chewed message and you can chew on it some more so it's easier to digest. Did anyone do any further chewing last week on the word of God? Okay, got a few. Did anyone read through the book of Jude last week? First service did better. Okay, so they're my favorite right now. Okay. I don't have favorites. I'm just kidding. I tell my kids that all the time. Right, kids? Some of them are here. Anyway, like I said, each week, man, keep reading through Jude. Keep studying it. There's so much packed into this. And we're gonna do some more. We're going to do some digging some deeper into what I talked about last week. But another part of it, so of course we're going to come and we're going to gather and we're going to hear God's word together here, but one part of that is that you take this and you go home and you study it on an individual level, but one of the other things that's so important to our faith is that we join together with other believers to understand these truths. And so we got groups coming up, and they start this week, and I would encourage you, there are group flyers on your seats. Look at all the groups, see if one of the times works out for you, and join a group so that you can dive deeper into God's word, God's study, and what he's speaking and revealing to you in your life. So that's one way you can do it. Another thing that I started doing back at our last series is doing daily devotionals based off of the sermon that I preached to you on Sunday. And basically, it just kind of unpacks it a little bit more, gives you some more questions to kind of chew on. So if that's something that you're interested in doing, you can go on our website down at the bottom. You can subscribe to the weekly devotionals there as well. Again, it's just we're continuing to learn God's word, experience God's word, have knowledge of God's word so that we can live his word out in our lives every day. Okay, let's dive into this. So I talked about justification, sanctification, how both of those work, and after I went home and took a nap, anyone do Sunday naps? Sunday naps are great. First service did better. They're my favorite. Okay, here we go. I'm just messing. So after I had my nap, I was just, you know, kind of just processing through the day and what God shared with me, and he kept putting a verse in my head. And I was like, okay, what's that all about? And it was simply this verse, and it was, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Work it out with fear and trembling. Of course, this comes from Philippians 2. Let me read this verse to you, and we're going to kind of go from here and then dive into some other passages as well. Philippians 2, verse 12 through 13. It says, so then, my dear friends, just as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now even more in my absence, here it is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is working in you, enabling you both to desire, and here it is again, to work out his good purpose. Now, God led me to this so that I could preach about it today because I think it's this age-old argument between works-based salvation and faith-based salvation. And so I think if you left here last week and you maybe haven't heard about justification or sanctification and what that looks like, you might begin to lean more on the fact that you have to do something in order to earn your salvation, that you have to accomplish a task or check off a list in order to have that. But I wanted to speak to you today and tell you today that you cannot earn your salvation. Nothing you do will ever be enough to earn salvation. It was a free gift from God through Jesus and Jesus alone. That's where salvation comes from. And so today I want to kind of unpack that and make you understand what I talk about when I'm talking about sanctification, so you understand what that means as you are, what Philippians 2 says, working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, it's really important. You got to see, it doesn't say that we work for our salvation. And I think that's where we get caught up. We're not working for our salvation. Jesus did that on the cross. We work out our salvation. Verse 12, work out our salvation. And then verse 13, it says, God enabled you to work out his good purpose. Now, oftentimes I'll preach from the Amplified Version. I'm not giving that to you today, but I just wanted to give you just a quick snippet, because what it does is it takes the word and it kind of amplifies it. That's why it's called the Amplified Version. Here's what it says as it pertains to verse 12. It says, that is, when it's talking about working out your salvation, that is, cultivate it, bring it to full effect, actively pursue spiritual maturity with awe-inspired fear and trembling, using serious caution and critical self-evaluation to avoid anything that might offend God or discredit the name of Christ. It's a powerful kind of description of what it means for you and I to work out our salvations. What's it saying? In other words, be sanctified. Be sanctified in your salvation. It's not one or the other. It's faith and its works. It's grace and its truth. And you operate in both of those things and you continue to do that. And as you do that, you will be sanctified. Let me say it like this. And I think I've said this and I want to keep repeating this because I think it's so important in our day and age that we have both. But our salvation is given by God's grace and is worked out by God's truth. And if you've been coming to Kairos any amount of time, you know that I very much point us to God's truth. And we got to keep going there. And that's how our salvation is worked out, by his truth. We're given the grace, and then the truth comes in to work out our salvation. And it's not just a knowledge of God's truth. Because did you know that the demons know God's truth? And Satan, the enemy, knows God's truth. So it's not just a knowledge of it. You can have a knowledge of God's word, but what it really is, it's an adherence to his truth. It's taking all of it, not the parts that you like or that are acceptable by culture standards. It's all of it. We take all of this and we say, God, thank you for what you've shown me in here through your son. Now I'm going to live all of this out in my life. I'm going to adhere my life, my will, my feelings, my desire, my flesh to your truth. And this is why, man, I constantly say, we can't just have grace and not have truth. And we can't get to the truth without God's grace. You see how they both work together. So we're not working, and this, oh man, this is so good, and this is just something from Jude 1. We're not working to keep our salvation. You want to know why? And Jude 1 tells us this, because you and I are kept in Christ. Isn't that a powerful statement? We're kept by Jesus, by what he did on the cross, by his sacrifice on the cross, that he died for our sins and put them in the grave, and we are kept by him. So we're not working to keep it. He has kept it for us. What are we doing? We're working out our salvation for the purpose of sanctification. It's what 1 Peter says. It calls us to be holy like Jesus, who saved us, is holy. If you don't know much about, like, to be holy, what that means is to be set apart. To be set apart is to be sanctified. And that's what this is what I'm talking about when I say sanctified. So we're going to unpack this a little bit more. So last week, we talked through Jude 1 and 2. And in Jude 1 or 2, he's writing this letter. And he says, to those who are called, loved, and kept. Very specific words that we're called, and we're loved, and we're kept. Now, I told you there's this intermingling between Peter and Jude, and as you begin to read through other stuff, you'll be like, yeah, there's all kinds of intermingling. You see this all over the place. But here's what 1 Peter says in chapter 1, verse 2. He says this, to the temporary residents dispersed in many different places that I won't say because I'll mess up. To the temporary residents that are dispersed. Now, what I want you to know, when he says temporary residents, what's he saying temporary? What's that mean? You want to know what that means? It's to those who have believed in Jesus, confessed their sin, repented of their sin, and now are living for Jesus, they're temporary residents because this earth, this world is not their home. Their home is in heaven, right? And so he says to the temporary residents, what are they? They are chosen according to the knowledge of God the Father. So we're chosen by God. They're set apart by the Spirit for obedience, adherence to the word, and for the sprinkling with the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know if you caught the similarities there between what Jude, who is called, loved, kept, and we see here it's that we're chosen, we're set apart, and we're covered by the blood of Christ. And this beautiful depiction of all three roles of the Trinity as it pertains to our salvation. And so you guys can put that next one up. The roles of the Trinity in our salvation. Here's what it looks like. We're chosen and loved by God. We've been talking about how that's our grace. We're set apart and we're called by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings us peace in our life as we are sanctified in him. And then we are kept and covered or saved by the blood of Christ. And so we have grace and we have peace and we have love. And it's this continual cycle of grace and peace and love and truth and justification and sanctification. And those three things just keep going. And so I'll say it like this. God's grace was shown to us by Jesus' love, and that brings us the peace of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, as 1 Peter talks about, is going to set us apart. And that's what it says. Who's going to set you apart? It's going to be the Holy Spirit. So we're chosen and we're loved by God, and there's grace. And then the Spirit comes in and he sets us apart. You see, at the moment that we believe in Jesus as our Savior, as our Lord, that he died on the cross for our sins, and that leads us to confession and repentance and a turning and a 180 from our life and a living for him. At the moment that we receive salvation, we receive the Holy Spirit with it. And the Spirit comes, and you want to know why he comes, so that he can continually set us apart, so that he can continually sanctify us, so that he can continually work within us to make us more like Christ. This is process of sanctification. And let me just tell you, the process of sanctification will come naturally after salvation. What do I mean by that? If you are saved by God's grace, and you repent of your sin, and you turn to Christ, and you receive the Holy Spirit, there will be a transformation in your life. You will no longer live for the flesh. You will no longer live for the sin. And I'm not talking about being tempted and falling into sin again. I'm saying that you are no longer identified by the sin that puts you in slavery, but you are identified by Jesus who sets you free. And this Holy Spirit within you sanctifies you and transforms you. And so those desires that once controlled you, they no more control you because you have put that in control of the Holy Spirit in your life. And he gives you power. So at the moment of salvation, that's what happens. And so here's the thing, and we got to see this. And this is something that I want to spend some time on here. Because it says, work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. But I want you to understand, it is not us working out our own salvation by ourselves, by our flesh. But it's as 1 Peter says in verse 13, it says, the Spirit of God is working in us, right? To both desire and to work out his good purpose. So you see where the Spirit comes in. You say work out our salvation, but you have the Spirit. It's not by your flesh. It's not by yourself. It's not by those things. It's the Spirit within you that will work them out. And those that think they can work for their faith are attempting to do so by their flesh. And they think to themselves, I can overcome this by my might, my wit, my actions, my feelings. All that leads to is boasting in self and not in the Spirit. Ultimately, it leads to the sin of pride. And really what it is you have made yourself your own God. And you worship yourself, and you worship your feelings, and you worship your sin. You say, I'm going to do all this on my own. I don't need the Holy Spirit. I don't need God. Do you know who else made that mistake? Satan. It was pride. He thought he didn't need God. And so we got to make sure that as we work out our salvation, that we're not trying to do it in our own power, but we lean on the power of the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Now, the only thing, and this is what I'll say to you, because we think we can do it in our own mind, but the only thing that the flesh is good at working out is our sinfulness. And that's it. Like, your flesh by itself will always work out sinfulness. It's like, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to do. Our fleshly desires, and if we try to carry it out in our own power, it's just going to lead to more sinfulness. But the Holy Spirit was given to us to work out our salvation. And we need the Holy Spirit in order to do that. So I'm going to say this. Our sanctification is worked out by the Spirit and not our flesh. It's not you. It's Him. It's always going to be Him. A reliance on Him. An adherence to His word. A living these things out. A speaking this over our lives. Now I want to, because we talk about the flesh and desires of the flesh, which of course, what we can call it temptation. And so what I want to do now is I want to jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And let's look at just this correlation between our fleshly temptation and Holy Spirit sanctification. Now, I want to give you verses 1 through 6. This isn't really what I'm focusing on, but I'm gonna give it to you because I want you to see the similarities between what Paul says in his letter to the Corinthians and what Jude says to us in his letter. So here we go, verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10. Now, I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud. They all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food, and they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the wilderness. Now these things became examples for us, so that we will not desire evil things as they did. Now real quick, I don't know if you saw it. So Jude 5. God saved them from Egypt, but many were destroyed. Corinthians 10. They all went through. They were all saved. They were all provided for, but not all of them passed through into the promised land. They were struck down in the wilderness. And I share that because it follows Jude's reminder of Israel's past and a warning to not fall back into that pattern of accepting God's grace and living in sinfulness after accepting his grace. Now, let's jump to verse 12. And you can unpack that later if you want. That's all I'm giving you. Okay. Verse 12. This is what I really want to focus on. So thinking about all that, this is a quick reminder. So it says in verse 12, so whoever thinks he stands must be careful not to fall. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to humanity. God is faithful, and he will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also provide a way of escape so that you are able to bear it. Do you want to know what God's provision is to us to resist temptation? You ready for it? It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. He's already provided it. At the moment of salvation, we've been given what we need to resist temptation. And so this is so important because we got to realize that when you were living in that sin, try and try and try again, you could never overcome it. But the moment that you got salvation, then Jesus comes in and gives you the Holy Spirit, and then you begin to see freedom and deliverance from it. Because it wasn't by your power, it was by your surrender to God's work in your life, a surrendering to the Holy Spirit in your life. So God's provision is the Holy Spirit. It's given to us to sanctify us, to set us apart, to make us holy. And so we're thinking about what 1 Peter says, and we're called to, or Philippians says, we're called to work out our salvation. But I was thinking about this as it pertains to our temptation and as it pertains to what I've been calling promiscuous grace, where we just allow people to continue to live in their sin and we say, you're saved by grace, but we don't ever challenge them or call them back to the word of truth. And so we're called to work out our salvation. And as we work out our salvation, we will resist temptation. But the flip side of that is that we don't work out our salvation. We instead, we work for or work towards our temptation. So here's what promiscuous grace says. It says, you're tempted to do something. You're tempted to have sex with your girlfriend. You're tempted to request or send nudes. You're tempted to lie to your boss, to explore sexuality with the same sex. You're tempted to have a flirtatious conversation or relationship with a coworker, even though you're married. You're tempted to look at pornography. You're tempted to cheat on a test. You're tempted to get drunk with friends or even with family. You're tempted to use a mind-altering substance that culture says is okay to use now, right? You can chew on that one for a bit. You're tempted to mistreat or underpay your employees. You're tempted to verbally or physically abuse your rebellious or disobedient child. You're tempted to complain about your husband to your friends. You're tempted to spread rumors about someone that you're in an argument with or you dislike. You're tempted to dismiss the talents and giftings of someone based on age, gender, or race. You see how the temptation, it comes to all of us. And there's a broad spectrum of it, and we're tempted to do these things, and we see that other people are tempted to do these things, and promiscuous grace says, that's fine. I won't judge you. I don't need you to change. You don't need to fight those lies or that temptation that is causing you to live in sin. And we say, God loves you, God's given you grace, God sees you. You don't need to fight the urges of your flesh. You don't need to work that out. Just keep working for it. This is where promiscuous grace comes in. And why did I give all those examples? Because every single one of us is guilty of it or has been guilty of it at one point in time. And that's why I share it all. Here's the truth. All of it. Because it's so easy to hear scriptures or hear a truth preached and say, oh man, so-and-so needs to hear this. Oh man, I can't wait to share this with somebody else. But at the end of the day, all of us need to be sanctified in our salvation. Because all of us are continually tempted by the enemy to fall back into the sin that once enslaved us. Sanctification, it's so important. So by our flesh, here's what happens. We just give in. We give in to the temptation. We know where it leads. We've experienced it before. And so our flesh, if we rely on the power of our flesh, it will lead to sin. However, if we begin to be sanctified by the Spirit, we can resist temptation. It's a reliance on the Spirit, and it's a surrendering of just our life, our will, our feeling, our desires to the Spirit, and that's when we are sanctified. And it's a continual process. It's not once and done. We do this time and time again. And the temptations that you experienced 10 years ago, you may be done with those, but let me tell you, the enemy's not going to let up. He's going to say, you achieved victory through the Holy Spirit over that? Well, I'm going to try to throw you off over here. And so it's a continual sanctification. That's what it's talking about. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We don't just live in or work for sin as those without the Spirit do. And this is the most powerful thing here. Because those without the Spirit, what do they care? What's convicting them? How do they know the truth? They don't see their lifestyle as sin, and so they just keep living it. But on the flip side, for those of you that have accepted God's grace and understand that Jesus died for your sin, you fully understand but are choosing to choose it anyway. You understand? The temptation comes and you say, I know Jesus saved me from this, but I'm going to rely on my flesh, and my flesh is pulling me back in it because you're not connected to the Holy Spirit. Temptation is powerful. Temptation is strong. You can't overcome it by yourself. And that is why we are given the Holy Spirit, so that by his power, we can be sanctified. Last week, I shared quite a few different temptation scenarios from the book of Jude. And I talked about how the dreamers came in and they, you know, defile themselves and they reject God's word and they blaspheme. And then I talked about how that connects to the sinful attributes of Cain and Balaam and Korah and how they were tempted and ultimately they fell into sin. And so the temptation of the flesh, and why I shared that last week is I wanted you to see that in Jude 5 through 7, All of the temptations of the flesh are wrapped up in all of that. Envy, jealousy, strife, anger, malice, greed, pride, sexual immorality, moral impurity. I wonder, you've probably heard those before. I mean, time and time again, we see them throughout the Bible. But let's connect them over to Galatians 5. And you may know Galatians 5 as the fruit of the Spirit chapter, right? But right before the fruit of the Spirit, you know what you get? The works of the flesh. So let's dive into that. Galatians 5, I'm going to do 16 and then we'll do 19 and 21 because I love 16. It says, I say then, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. I mean, how powerful is that? Now, we don't carry out the desires of our flesh because we're walking by the Spirit and we're sanctified by the Spirit. Let's go on. Verse 19. Now, the works of the flesh, what is this? They're obvious. Well, they're supposed to be obvious. They're not as obvious today, I guess. Anyway, sexual immorality, moral impurity, promiscuity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and anything similar. I tell you about these things in advance, as I told you before, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This hit me hard last service. And I think I've hit on it a couple of times throughout this series because we know this truth. But in promiscuous grace, we don't challenge the people we love in this truth. And it says it's obvious. And we see it in our culture, and we see it in our community, and maybe we see it in our loved ones. And we don't challenge it, and we let them live in it. And verse 21 says that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And so I told you before, if you're not willing to tell the truth to them, you are ultimately sending them to hell. We call it grace. We call it love. But it's the exact opposite. I think we need to understand that. I was talking to someone this week, and I was just like, the world is filling everyone's mind with lies. That's what we're getting time and time again. Social media, the news outlets, we get it from people we work with. Lies, lies, lies. Deception, deception, deception. Compromise, compromise, compromise. Tolerance, tolerance, tolerance. Affirm, affirm, affirm. And if that's what the world is giving to all of us, who's going to tell them the truth? Whose call is it to bring the truth to a world that is just overwhelmed by the lies all around them? You know whose call that is? Those who are saved and sanctified by the blood of Christ and the Holy Spirit within them. But too many churches and too many Christians are not bold enough to share the truth or even live the truth. Because maybe you can't say it to them, but they should be able to see it in you. Do they see it in you? Maybe it's just in a disappointment that you have in how they're living, and they can see it. Maybe you speak it. But if we're not telling people the truth, who will? And at the end of the day, if I'm not telling you the truth, where else are you going to get it? Why do I stand up here boldly every single Sunday and teach you the truth? Because that's what God called me to. And that's the purpose of the church, to bring you his truth, to equip you with his truth, so that you can go out into the world and live his truth and share his truth with others around you who have not yet experienced his truth. We do it with grace. We do it with love. We do it with kindness. We don't shy away from it. For far too long, that's what's been happening. And that's why you see denominations moving away from what I'll call biblical Christianity. They're no longer relying on the truth. It's just grace, 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 grace. There is no truth, and then there's no conviction, and there's no transformation. And ultimately, going back to what I just shared with you, people are being led astray thinking that they will inherit eternal life, but they never will. And it's a lie that we're telling ourselves. And it's a lie that the church is telling many people. And I can't do that, and I won't do that. And I pray that you won't either. So from this, you know, we fall into sin when we follow desires or temptation in our flesh. And I unpacked some of this already, but here's what culture says. Culture says this, and maybe our subconscious or maybe even conscious practice of promiscuous grace, where we are loving and kind and graceful, and we say, yes, accept God's salvation, but don't change anything about the way that you're living and don't stop living in sin. That's what I'm talking about. when I talk about when we practice promiscuous grace, and maybe you're doing it and you know you're doing it, or maybe you're doing it and you don't know you're doing it. But here's what it says. Follow your fleshly feelings. Live out your fleshly desires. Don't surrender them or surrender control to the Holy Spirit, because if you did, it would be worked out and you would be sanctified and delivered from them. Just keep living in them. You don't need to change. That's, so this is what culture is doing. This is what churches are doing. This is what some of us maybe have been deceived into thinking is okay. But if we want to be free, if we want our loved ones to be free from temptation and our fleshly feelings, we have to surrender to the Holy Spirit. We have to be sanctified. Culture tells us to work for our flesh by surrendering to our feelings. You'll hear it time and time again. And basically what this is living out Galatians 5, 19 through 21. This is living out the works of the flesh, which is opposite to the fruits of the Spirit. Because God's truth tells us to work out our salvation by surrendering our feelings to the Spirit. It's a surrender. It's a surrender of control. It's a surrender of our desires. It's a surrender of our feelings to Him. And when we do that, we begin to live out Galatians 5, where we see the fruits of the Spirit. In verse 22, the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. And the very last one, hardest one for all of us, self-control. You wonder why it's hard for all of us? It's a fruit of the Spirit. And it's a reliance on the Spirit to bring self-control in our lives, self-control over those fleshly desires that want to pull us away from the salvation that we have received. The Spirit gives us that self-control to not pursue or give in to the feelings or desire of our flesh. And by the Spirit and reliance on the Spirit, guess what? We're sanctified. And that's what we want to work towards. Now I got to wrap up. So I want to jump back to Philippians 2. It says, work out your own salvation. How does it say to work it out? Fear and trembling. Do you know what I believe? I sadly believe that our nation, that our churches, that our communities, that even our families have lost this reverence for God. Reverence for God's truth. And now we don't work out our salvation with fear and trembling. No, we sit idle in our salvation with frivolity and tolerance. We sit idle in our salvation with comfort in inconvenience. And here's why. Because fear and trembling, when we work out our salvation with fear and trembling, you know what's going to happen in our lives and in those around it? It's going to lead to conviction. And when we have conviction by the Holy Spirit, it leads to transformation and our sanctification. However, when we live in frivolity and tolerance and comfort and convenience, there's no conviction. None. Why would there be? We're not pushing ourselves. We're not pushing ourselves to adhere to God's word. We're not challenging others to do the same. We're not calling ourselves or others to repentance. So there's no conviction. And where there's no conviction, there's no transformation. And where there's no transformation, there's no sanctification. Do you see how it works? This is, it's so important. If you tolerate your temptation long enough, it will subdue you and enslave you to sin again. And you won't work out your faith or your salvation. You'll be working for the sin that has control of your life again. And it happens, and you've seen it happen. You've seen it happen with loved ones. You've seen it happen with people with addictions. Grace and love, we say, they'll get there. We're gonna pray for them. Do we ever speak this over their lives? I mean, that's what it's gonna take. And it's not in our power. And when you, I've been talking with people, how do I do this? How do I go about this conversation? I'll be honest, it's going to be different for each and every situation. And what you need is the Holy Spirit to speak through you. You want the Holy Spirit to speak through you and powerfully speak through you. You better know this. You better write this on your heart and mind. It's that truth. And you know His truth, and you know God's plan, and you know God's promise, and you know that God created us all, and He loved us all, and He sent His Son to save us, and He died for us. And we gotta lead people back to it. Sanctification, sanctification, sanctification. Listen, the feelings of our flesh, you know this, I know this, they will always choose satisfaction. The flesh will always choose satisfaction over sanctification. Why are we having identity and gender issues? Because of satisfying our flesh. Why is obesity such a problem and addictions so rampant in our communities and in our culture? Because of satisfying our flesh. Why do we see greed and materialism and a collection of all these things that don't matter in our world? Because of satisfying our flesh. Why is bullying at an all-time high and gossip, where people say, I'm not gossiping, I'm just sharing a prayer request. Oh, snap, sorry. Gossip, satisfying our flesh. Our nation is guilty of choosing satisfaction over sanctification. Our communities are guilty of choosing satisfaction over sanctification. Our churches, dare I say, our families are guilty of choosing satisfaction over sanctification. Let me put it another way. Our nation, our churches, our families are guilty of choosing comfort over conviction. Conviction that comes from the Holy Spirit. Conviction from the Holy Spirit that leads us to sanctification. And I know we want it. If we want to see revival in our nation, if you want to see revival in your community, if you want to see revival in your home, that means that we got to stand up and fight against the fleshly satisfaction and begin to fight for Holy Spirit sanctification. And guess where it starts? It starts with you. You. It's not you pointing fingers at other people. Are you saying this is what they need to hear? This is what they need to do? No, it's you. You, sinner. Just like me. We all need to be sanctified. We all need to use the Holy Spirit to press and resist against the flesh and the desires of that flesh. And then we sanctify ourselves in grace and truth, in knowledge and wisdom, in justification and sanctification. And as we work on ourselves and sanctify ourselves and become more and more like Jesus, then we take the steps to lovingly, gracefully, in kindness, challenge others to do the same. We do it again and we do it again and we do it again. And we say, you got to fight the temptation. Here's the truth. Here's how you do it. It's through the Holy Spirit. Through sanctification of the Holy Spirit. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to stand to your feet. We're going to close out our time together. Stand up. I ask that you would bow your heads. We're going to enter into a time of prayer, but also a time of action. Because the reality is we can go, and we can say, it's not me. It's out there. I know what the world deals with. I know what they're going through. It's easy to point at those glaring sins that people are struggling in while we avoid the subtle sin in our own heart. Or even the promiscuous grace in our own heart. In those areas where we haven't been firm and bold in the truth. We've been trying to rely on our flesh instead of relying on the Spirit within us. And so here's my call to you today. If you would say, you know what, in my life, in the past or even now, I would say I'm guilty of promiscuous grace. That I've accepted the grace, and even in my own life, I've rationalized or compromised different things, and there's a sin that I'm living in. Or maybe it's in someone that you love. And because you love them, you've kind of backed away from having that difficult conversation. That leads to conflict, that leads to conviction, that leads to sanctification. If today you would say, like, in my life, first and foremost, in my life, I want to choose the Holy Spirit over my fleshly sin. I want to be sanctified over being satisfied. I want conviction over comfort. I want to work out my salvation with fear and trembling, no longer with frivolity or tolerance or comfort and convenience. If that's you today and you say, I want to step into living this in my life so that the people around me that I love man can see it, hear it, experience it, and one day be saved and sanctified so that they will go to heaven one day. If that's you, will you come forward right now? I want to pray for you. I want to pray over you. I want you to know that God is doing a work in you. And maybe you'd say, hey, listen, you know what? I've messed up and I've gone back into sin. But today God's saying you have the power to overcome the temptation that you think rules you. It doesn't rule you anymore because Jesus died for it and he gave you the Holy Spirit to resist it. And so if you want to be free from the bondage of that sin, come forward and say, no longer will I look at this thing and say, it's okay, because it's not okay. If the Bible says it's not okay, it's not okay. No longer will I shy away from living or speaking the truth. I love that person too much. And I want them to experience God's grace and love and truth and justice. And so I want to be the vessel. And if you want to be that vessel, you've got to continually be sanctified. God, you are doing a work. Continue breaking down walls. I know there are hardened hearts. I know there are prideful spirits that think that they can do it on their own. Break it down. God, that reliance on self will only lead us into sin. And subsequently, the people around us into a lifestyle of sin. So break it down. God, let them today say, I'm going to step forward. And I am going to choose to surrender my will, my desires, my feelings to the Holy Spirit. And I will walk out of this room today knowing that the Spirit that has always been there, I'm going to begin relying on that. And as I rely on that, I will be sanctified. And as I'm sanctified, I will be more like Jesus. Jesus who is loving. Jesus who is kind. Jesus who is merciful. Jesus who shares the truth, a bold truth. Jesus who is challenging. Jesus who calls people out of their sin. He gives them forgiveness but says, go and sin no more. That's what we want to live in our lives. That's the sanctification we're looking for in our lives. God, right now, may your Spirit fall. May your Spirit empower. May your Spirit bring encouragement. May your Spirit bring a boldness that has never been there before. May temptation and sin and the bondage that they've been living in be broken today. God, I pray for our children that are wayward. You can save them. But we got to speak truth in their lives. God, I pray for that marriage that is struggling. You can save it, but we got to depend on the Holy Spirit. God, I pray for the person who's struggling and walking in addiction. God, that they would see and hear the Spirit and they can be saved from it. People need to know your truth. They need to see your truth. And we are the vessels, and we want to be those vessels. Sanctify us. And send us out. Send us in out to this world that needs to know and hear the truth of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for moving today. Thank you for speaking today. Thank you for breaking down walls today. Thank you for saving people from addiction today. Thank you for what you're gonna do from today, God. We're believing it, we're claiming it, we're calling it. It is in the precious name of Jesus Christ that I pray. Amen. And everybody said, amen. Look around you, church. A sanctified church will see people come to know Jesus, and will see people be rescued from addiction and sin and hurt and pain. And that's what's happening here today. So I would encourage you today, man, experience the power. Live in that power. Go out and be that to your family, to your loved ones, to your spouse, to your friends, to your coworkers. May they see Jesus in us. Through the Spirit's sanctification. Amen, amen. Thank you guys so much.